right, let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 3. And we'll start reading in verse 9. And we'll read to verse 17. And we are looking tonight at the judgment of believers' works. You know, we're just kind of working through this book together. And we have noted over and over again that what Paul is driving them to is Christ, always Christ. They have the issue, of course, of division among them, right? They have sort of parties within the church, parties as in sectarian groups within the church. And you have people kind of coalescing around a favorite personality. And as we've noted many times, Paul is again and again pointing them away from, you know, the personality, the messenger to the message. That's what he wants to fix their thoughts and minds on. And really, he's continuing with that theme to tonight. He's going to point out the foundation of the church, which is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the message of Christ and crucified for sinners. And he's going to, you know, implore believers to give consideration toward the judgment of believers' works. And we'll just go ahead and pick up here in chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And so, brethren, we are looking at the judgment seat of Christ, right? This is the Bema seat. This is not here the judgment of our sins. Our sins have been paid for, atoned for by the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Christ was judged for us on the cross on behalf of our sins. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And as Paul says in Romans 8, no one can bring a charge against God's elect. And so the subject here is really not the judgment of our sins, but it is a reward for good works. And, you know, we see here Paul, we've seen in chapter 3 at least, Paul speaking of the church as, you know, he planted in Apollos, he came and he watered, but it was God who gave the increase. We saw that in verses 6 through 8. And we see at the end of verse 9, you know, Paul is kind of transitioning his metaphors, right? He's been using sort of, you know, agricultural, you know, metaphors, watering, planting. And now he's switching to more of like architectural metaphors. In fact, you see the word, you know, master builder. That is the Greek word which our English word architect comes from. And so he's switching metaphors, using like a building metaphor now. And he's using here kind of the language here, the figure of a building. So Paul's going to give us in our passage, we're just going to walk through these five different aspects of a worker, the works and labors of God's people, and how we are rewarded for them. And so, you know, the first thing you see here is Paul is calling himself the master builder, right? He's the master builder. Paul, you know, the apostle called by the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes and he lays the foundation in Corinth. And so he's there about a year and a half, right? 18 months. And it's a gospel labor among those people. And he's laying the foundation, teaching them the gospel, applying the gospel to their life. And he does this by, he says, by the grace of God. For we, verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds. And so Paul says, you know, this is by the grace of God. This is a ministry that God has given me. In other words, you know, Paul here is not boasting. He's not bragging. He's not saying, I'm so awesome. I just rode into my Corinth on my white horse and knocked heads and did this awesome thing. He says, no, this is by, you know, God's grace and power. He came in and God established a church. You know, only the Lord can raise the spiritually dead. And so it's the Lord who gets all the glory. But Paul is here, he calls himself the master builder. He is the founder. You know, he's the founder of the church, right? Just like TRBC has the founders with Brother Jimmy and Henry. Well, Paul was the founder of the church. And then, just like at TRBC, others came along later and built on that foundation. So it was with the Apostle Paul. Others came along and built on the foundation that he was able, by God's grace, to lay. And, you know, Paul here is not a jealous man, right? So he's not trying to exalt himself. He's not trying to lower people. In fact, he says, if you go back to verse 7, so neither he who plants is anything, that's himself, nor he who waters, that would be like the Apollos, but God who gives the increase. And so Paul is really zealous here to make sure that all the glory is on the Lord and not on himself. He just calls himself, you know, a minister, a servant, verse 6, through whom you believed. And so Paul here has thoroughly a humble attitude here, but he is a master builder. He's the one who came in and was the initial one to lay down the gospel in which they could build all other doctrines of the church. And then later on, Apollos came and he built on that foundation. And so Paul here is speaking both of the one who comes and the one who would later build up the church. So what his concern is, though, is that those who come and build are building wisely. That includes building on that foundation wisely. That includes not just Apollos, but really, you know, all the members of that church, right, are involved with that. And really, throughout history, including us, we're all involved in some way with building as well. I lay the foundation, another builds on it, and let each one take heed how he builds. And you know, brethren, every member of the body of Christ has been given spiritual gifts. And we're not all called to the ministry of preaching the word, or, you know, we don't all have the gift of teaching, for example, even in Sunday school. But God has given us all gifts. And, you know, some of y'all have gifts of service and, you know, mercy and, you know, encouragement and hospitality. And, you know, when you use your spiritual gifts wisely like that, you know what you're doing? You're building up God's church. You're building on the foundation that by God's grace others have laid for us. And you're part of building that up. And that's really an exciting thing when you think about it. And sometimes, brethren, you kind of get an attitude. You know, you hear people in this sort of like this discouraged attitude almost of, you know, I'm just a member of God's church. And like, listen to yourself. Listen to yourself talk here. Paul just said, you know, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. you're a member of the body of Christ and you have a spiritual gift and you were called to use those gifts to minister to the body. And that, brethren, is a wonderful and holy calling. And that's why one writer, I forget his name, but he called membership the third office of the church. And that's a neat way to think about it. And that gives us some perspective, right? So we're not all called to be officers of the church, but we are all called as members of the body to serve. So we're all doing that. And listen, we're doing that here, you know, in the body of Christ, and even, you know, just out in the world, being salt, being light, being a gospel witness. We are all building and building and building. Our life is an evidence of what Christ has done in our hearts. All right, so second of all, we've talked a little bit about the master builder, Paul. And then we're thinking about the foundation. Number two, the foundation is Jesus Christ himself. He is the foundation, is the foundation of the church. And he says, of course, let each one take heed how he builds on it. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, you know, brethren, this is pretty elemental. I think we all get this. But, you know, we don't get to make up the message, right? You know, and that's important because there are folks who think they do, you know, and they're kind of freestyling out there. We get to tweak the message. And what Paul is saying, no, is, you know, the message has been established. It is the message of Christ and him crucified. As Paul said, I desire to know nothing among you save Christ and crucified. That's the message. That's the message of the cross. The message that people are sinners. That they have no other hope. No one else is coming for them. They have no other hope in life and death other than Christ and him crucified. That is their only hope. That is the heart of the message. And, you know, it's important to note, as we kind of think about this, that this message is encompassed by all of Scripture, right? So, Old Testament, Gospels, Epistles, Revelation, the entire Bible is indeed about Christ and him crucified. And so that's the foundation that the Apostle Paul came to lay. The foundation is not personality, right? It's not, you know, some kind of cultural issue, you know? It's not the burning issues of the day there in Corinth. You know, Paul's not, trying to start some kind of, you know, moral majority there in Corinth. His one burning, firing, you know, his message is Christ and him crucified. That is his passion. And that's what he lays the foundation. Now, this is a good word for us, brother, to think about, right? Because, you know, you see, it's easy for folks to get off balance and off kilter and, you know, drift into unbiblical territory. And so it's good for every gospel church. You know, every church has the freedom to think through certain issues, right? So there are churches and, you know, they practice head coverings, for example, okay? And there are churches that they establish a certain translation of the Bible. Usually King James only is the certain translation. And that's their thing. What I'm saying is, churches can become, they can deviate and become about a certain doctrinal nuance or, you know, practical thing that's important to them, translations, eschatology, doctrinal nuances. And what Paul is pointing us to over and over again is the centrality of the message of the cross, of the gospel. That is the message. So that when people think about, you know, TRBC, we want to be known as a gospel church. Gospel church, gospel preaching congregation, and so we are. And so we've got to be on guard against all those little you know, nuances that can distract if we're not careful. So we've seen the master builder, Paul. We've seen the foundation. And let's think briefly about the materials that believers build with, and that is in verse 12. The materials we build with, and Paul mentions now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold or silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort It is. And so Paul gives there in verse 12 different materials that we're building with in this life. And the point here is, brethren, we're always building, right? And I think that's a really important word for us. We're always building. Everybody is building. Every Christian is building something, right? It might not be ideal. It might be straw. It might be hay. But everybody's leaving a legacy. Everybody's building something. In your daily ebb and flow of life, your life is going somewhere. You're building something. You're about something. And Paul here gives us two categories of our building materials. And you've got the high quality material, right? You've got your gold. And this is obviously the most prized of the precious metals. And you've got your silver, which is much more common and less valuable. And you've got your precious stones. And so really the key here to thinking through this is gospel faithfulness, being faithful in your walk with Christ. And, you know, ultimately, it's only the Lord that can perfectly discern whether our works are, you know, gold or stubble. And, you know, I'm not yet an old man, but I've been around the block a couple times, and I can tell you that in life, sometimes things aren't the way they appear. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember, you know, Mars Hill Church, for example. That rings a bell for some of you. And it looked so big, and it looked so impressive, and it was such a dominating force on early social media and YouTube, and now it's all gone. I mean, it's all gone. It's all gone. And many, many, many people were disillusioned by that entire movement. And so, just a word of caution that sometimes things aren't the way they appear. And then you think, you know, we're a small congregation, but there are small congregations, you know, all around the world, like micro congregations, very small congregations, and they don't have any of the affluence or anything that we have in their culture. And yet our Lord, even though they're small, our Lord would find them faithful. And there's a lot of gold that we'll never know about. And just be aware of that in your life. Sometimes things aren't the way they seem. And so we want to be careful about how we, you know, use the money God's given us, the talents God's given us, our spiritual gift, our sphere of influence. Are we using that in a faithful way? And so, brethren, these materials we see, the gold, the silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, that is the way our Lord's going to apply this to us or judge us on these things is based on a few different criteria. You know, it's going to be based on our motivations, for example. Are we faithful in the way that we serve the Lord in full dependence upon Him? And do we have the right motivations? Do we do all that we do for the glory of God? You know, there's a lot of guys, they just like to talk, right? And so I think there's probably people who are men who are preachers just because they just like to talk and they like to say things, and this is a good way to do it. And you know, that's definitely doesn't look like gold. That looks like, you know, hay, stubble, not good. Things aren't always the way they appear. What's the motivation? You know, in Pennsylvania, I had a brother, and he was a good brother, but sometimes he'd make little remarks about how much he gave to the church, and I don't know if it was kind of a listen to me type of thing or what it was. I don't know. It was fine, but we also had this dear old lady in our church, and she got sick, like real fast sick, and she passed away. And I remember the treasurer came up to me and said, you know, her name was Jane. He said, Jane was our biggest giver. And I said, really? I would have never thought Jane was not someone I would have thought of as having a lot of disposable income. And so what I'm saying is you never know. And Jane was quiet about it. And, you know, her motivation was, you know, she loved the Lord. She loved His church. She wanted to support the ministry. And just seems like gold to me. And she was just a really dear and sweet lady anyway. A second motivation here, as we think about, you know, the type of materials, is certainly our conduct. Our conduct. How are you using the Lord's resources He's given to you, right? Talents and gifts and of influence that you might have on other people. Thirdly is your service to the Lord. Are you actively pursuing ways to serve the Lord, even if it's in obscure ways, looking for ways to serve the body of Christ? And, of course, Paul says that this will be tested by fire. And please note that this is, again, not a testing by fire in any way of condemnation. You know, some who twist scriptures call this purgatory. There is no purgatory. But this fire, of course, would be an analogy of, you know, if you burn metals, it's going to reveal what's pure or not. And that's what Paul's getting at here, is that the Lord is going to test our works to see if they are pure gold, silver, precious stones, or if they're the lower quality wood, hay, stubble that will burn up at the judgment seat. And that's what he's getting at there in verse 13. Each one's works will become clear on that day. That is the day that all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That day will declare, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work, what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. And, you know, these rewards in Scripture are called crowns, right? Crowns. And so church family, this is what we look forward to, right? We want to be faithful. We want to serve the Lord faithfully with the gifts and talents he's given us. And we hope by God's grace to build on that foundation that others have laid. We want to build up Christ Church. We want to use the gifts that he's given us. And we hope that one day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we will be found faithful. May it be that we would be found faithful. We want to be found faithful. Father, we thank you for the word of God. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, that guides our way, reveals truth to us. And we pray that you would give us, you know, a sense of seriousness, that that one day we will stand before our Lord Jesus, and there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, but we do want what we do in this life to, on that great day, be revealed as being empowered by the Holy Spirit. We want it to be for the glory of King Jesus. We want to serve you with vigor and might. Help us, we pray, Lord. And we pray that as we gather and pray for needs tonight and major, major issues. We think about our country on maybe the precipice of a massive win with Roe v. Wade, and that would be amazing and an answer to many, many prayers. And I pray that we'd be encouraged to keep praying, knowing that the Prince of Darkness is also at work. And so we pray, Lord, that we'd have a sense of making war in our prayers, that we are bringing our petitions to you, that you have called us to pray, to make our petitions known to God. We were reminded that in James, that the fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. And I pray we be mindful of that. You've ordained the means and the ends to those means. And so the means to that end. So help us, Lord, we pray, to be faithful as we lift up these requests. And pray your hand be upon our church. In Jesus' name.